Welcome to the Cat Clayton Mysteries. Do you enjoy mystery novels? Are you in the mood for some small town shenanigans? Or maybe you're on a road trip and looking for something to listen to. Either way, I am glad that you've tuned in. Think Murder, She Wrote, mixed with Legally Blonde in small town Texas. So, sharpen those sleuthing skills and let's solve some mysteries. Try to say that 5 times real fast. Oh, and a disclaimer. Like the dog in the books, my Chihuahua, Cuff, likes to be heard. And since he sits in my lap while I record, you may hear occasional puppy whining, a yip, or other doggy noises. Now, get cozy, and let me tell you a few stories. Welcome back to the Cat Clayton Mysteries. We left off last week with episode 16, when Steely has a little bit too much to drink at the 4th of July party. She gets upset when she sees Nick with the blonde woman from the police department. While Kaylee and Daniel are trying to get Steely to give them her keys, Nick interrupts them and offers to take Steely home. Steely spins around, losing her balance, and stumbles straight into Nick's arms. Let's find out what happens next. How to Leash a Thief, a Steely and Cuff Mystery, Book 1, Episode 17. Nick steadied me before he released his hold. As if the mere touch of his skin on mine burned, I recoiled. "Don't touch me." The blonde woman beside him took a step back. "Smart move, tramp." Wait, did I just say that out loud? I squinted at her, giving her my best mean girl look. Unfortunately for her, alcohol brought out my evil twin, the unbecoming southern trashy twin. "Yeah, keep packing up, bimbo," someone gasped. Oops, now that was definitely out loud. I turned to Nick. The world spun around me. "How dare you bring her here? I only left 3 days ago." His wide eyes darted around the gathering crowd. "Calm down. Stacia's new to town. I was introducing her to everyone." I rolled my eyes. "Do you think I'm stupid? I see the way she's looking at you, the way she's hanging all over your arm." The onlookers gawked. I was a walking, talking wrecking ball. Yet, I couldn't stop myself. I'd given myself to him, and he treated me as if I was just another notch in his belt. Kaylee stood silently next to Brandon, her hand covering her mouth. If Cuff were here, he would have accused me of using my squeaky voice. Nick reached out, wearing a grim expression. "Come on, Steely. I'll drive you back to your dad's. You can pick up your car tomorrow." His hand gripped my elbow. "Get your filthy hands off me." I pulled out of his grasp, my eyes filling with tears. Nick let go, backing away. Harsh whispers rustled amongst the crowd. Or maybe it was the breeze rushing through the magnolia trees. Or maybe the ground was moving. Daniel's hand grazed my shoulder. "Steely, sweetie, it's getting late. Come on." My right eye twitched and my legs wobbled. Darn fruity drinks. "Excuse me, but my friend is taking me home." I turned to Kaylee. "I'm sorry." I trudged toward the front of the house. Daniel followed in my wake. Leaning against my car, Officer Jackson waited, his hands tucked in the front pockets of his jeans. The sight of him infuriated me. The reality of the entire situation slammed me in the gut with a 2x4. "Gosh, did this guy ever give up?" I stormed up to him.
"You're not driving home in this condition. Where are your keys?" he asked.
"Don't worry." I tripped and stumbled into his chest, face first. With gentleness, he braced me, holding on to my arms. He smelled spicy and woodsy. He stared down at me. Pity emanated from his dark eyes.
"Are you okay?"
I pushed away. "You knew he was cheating on me, didn't you?"
"Well, I..." he began.
"Stop. Just please stop talking." My knees buckled as tears sprung from my eyes, my head sagging in defeat. "My relationship is over, and it is all your fault." I knew it wasn't true, but I felt better saying it.
Daniel glided over to my side. "Come on, Steels, let's get you home." He gently tugged my limp arm, guiding me toward his car. "If it matters, I'm sorry you had to find out this way," Jackson said. Too exhausted and embarrassed to reply, I allowed Daniel to lead me away. Daniel sat quietly in the driver's seat of his car while I cleaned my face in the Miata's visor mirror. I dried my tear-streaked face, reapplied some powder and lip gloss, and closed the mirror. "Do you feel better?" Daniel asked. Sighing, I nodded. "Here, drink this." Daniel opened a to-go mug and handed it to me. I smelled coffee through the lid. "Where'd you get it?" "Mrs. Peeper gave it to me as we left. Said for you to drink it on the way home." I took two long swallows. The temperature was perfect. I sat back and leaned my head against the headrest. The coffee worked its magic with every sip. "Do you want to talk about it?" "Oh, it's too soon." Emotionally drained, my urge to strangle someone had subsided, as did the lingering effects of the alcohol. "Can you take me home now, please?" We'd driven a few miles down the gravel road when we caught sight of a car's hazard lights flashing. "Someone must have broken down. Maybe someone from the party." He pulled up behind the dark car. "I'll go see if someone needs to use my phone to call a wrecker." Dread washed over me. "Be careful, Daniel." These past few days had me on edge. Daniel approached the driver's side door. He spoke to whoever was behind the wheel through the driver's side window. He leaned back, glancing at me in the car. Did he just shoot me a grin? A second later, Officer Jackson emerged from the driver's side door, and both men headed towards Daniel's car. Oh, heck no. Jackson sauntered around to the passenger side and pulled my door open. "Call a cab." He held the door with a strength I couldn't match and a sexy grin that made my heart skip a beat. "Listen, my car died. It's always breaking down. Daniel offered me a ride. And you know good and well there isn't a cab company in town." "Sorry, this is a two-seater." I tugged again on the door. "Well, I guess you better scoot over," he said. "Ugh!" I snatched my purse from the floor and shoved it on my lap. Biting my tongue, I slid over. When Daniel plopped into a seat beside me, he flashed a smile. I scowled. Jackson sunk into the seat, melting into my right side. He yanked the door closed. He stretched the seatbelt out, offering it to me. "You want to share?" I gave him a sideways glance. "Click it or ticket." He pushed the metal hook of the seatbelt into my hands. "Shoot me now," I said, snapping in the belt. I wiggled as far away as I could. Daniel chuckled and turned the engine over. "You are so funny," he said, driving past a supposedly broken-down Camaro. Folding my arms across my chest, I refused to take part in their incessant chatter. I couldn't believe how easily Daniel warmed up to Jackson. Either he was flirting, or he'd completely switched to the dark side. What a traitor. Taking full advantage of the turns, Jackson leaned into me, using any excuse he could to get closer. Could you spare a little bit more room?" he asked, squishing me. Without even glancing, I heard the smile in his voice. I elbowed him in the ribs. "You were sliding into me on purpose." Acutely aware of every inch where his body touched mine, I found it difficult to breathe. A battle raged inside me. My mind screamed danger, but my body said yes. My heart's protective armor went into overdrive, attempting to seal any cracks. "I can't help it. Daniel's a wild driver," Jackson said. "Careful. I could read more into that comment than you intended," Daniel said, pounding the steering wheel, as if he just told the funniest joke. I wanted to pound on his head. Jackson snorted. I couldn't take it anymore. I snapped my head in his direction, ready to give him a piece of my... Oh, my. Those eyes. Don't let them suck you in, Steely. "Let me ask you something. Did you plan on us driving by and rescuing your butt? Huh? I bet there's nothing even wrong with your car." "Don't be ridiculous," Jackson said, his lips struggling not to smile. Well, I wouldn't put it past you. With a huff, I turned my attention back to the road. Stay strong, Steely. Out of the corner of my eye, he gave up the battle, his cheeks stretched into a wide grin. I'd bet $1 million his quote-unquote dead car was just fine. Hey, Daniel, drop me by the station. I have my bike parked there, Jackson said. You got it, officer, Daniel said with so much giddiness he practically sang it. The cheerful atmosphere inside the car irritated me. I'd had the crappiest of all nights, and these two were toying with me. Their jolly attitudes made a mockery out of the entire situation. And this is serious. My life is in shambles. Jackson leaned into me one last time when Daniel swerved into the parking lot. Right over there. His arm stretched in front of me as he pointed to his bike leaning on its kickstand. I thought about biting him, but then he'd probably misconstrue my action as some weird come-on. You want to ride home? Jackson asked. Me? Not on that thing. Well, are you scared? No, I don't like motorcycles. Or arrogant guys who irritate me. Daniel fumbled with the radio. Why didn't he just speak up and say something in my defense? Well, have you ever been on one? Jackson asked. This was not good. My vulnerable state of mind, mixed with his bad boy charm, was not going to end well in my favor. No, I turned my head to stare out the front windshield. Jackson reached over, leaning into me, and unhooked the seatbelt. My skin sizzled at his touch. Come on, let's go. His warm breath, scented with cinnamon, swirled around my face. My lungs seized, my head spun. I almost melted right on the seat of Daniel's car. I don't want to. Oh, yes, you do. Jackson opened the door and climbed out, extending his hand to me. He looked in at Daniel. Thanks for the ride, dude. I promise I will return her home safely. I glimpsed at Daniel for some help. He shrugged, grinning. Fine, I'll take the ride, but maybe then you'll leave me alone. I accepted his hand as he heaved me out of the car. I bent down and peered inside at Daniel. Thanks for the support, friend. You can thank me tomorrow, Daniel said. I bet he could whistle zippity-doo-dah right out of his rear end. I slammed the car door and he zoomed out of the parking lot. Jackson fiddled with his motorcycle. Motorcycles are stupid and dangerous, and people should not ride them. Ignoring me, he removed an extra helmet and a leather jacket from the back and handed them to me. Put these on and give me your purse. He opened a small storage compartment on the back of the bike. I handed him my purse, and he tossed it in, locking it inside. He turned, raising an eyebrow. His jacket swallowed me whole. Struggling with the chin strap of the helmet, I'd somehow tied the darn thing into a knot. Here, let me help, he said, moving in front of me. Too close. But something inside of me hoped, wished, that he didn't move away. I chewed my lower lip. Jackson untied the knot, fastened the strap, and gently tugged it tight under my chin. His dark eyes found mine. Are you nervous? I mustered what little sarcasm I had left and tossed it right at him. Whatever gave you that idea? Well, you haven't said a word since Daniel left, and you're chewing on your lower lip. I'm a highly trained professional, you know. Right. So, how many girls have you given rides to, since you have an extra helmet? I shrugged as if merely curious, but I really wanted to know. Well, you're the first, he winked. Jesus, take the wheel. Well, why should I believe you? Have I ever given you a reason not to trust me? Speechless, I shook my head. Good. He tweaked my chin and snapped my face shield closed. He climbed on the bike. Hop on, and scoot up close to me. I promise not to bite. Wrap your arms and legs around me and hold on. I scrambled onto the bike, sitting close behind, but I refused to wrap any part of myself around him. Mama would say, so not ladylike. In rebellion, I slapped my hands on my thighs. He turned the key and the engine roared to life. He pushed the kickstand up and revved the engine. The bike jerked forward. My body lurched backward. I quickly threw my arms around him and squeezed him with my thighs. Mr. Slick had me right where he wanted me. Sorry, Mama. The streets of Pleasant Hills were deserted. As if charmed by his magical spell, the traffic lights all greened as we approached them. Zooming down Main Street, I nudged Jackson's shoulder as we passed by the used car lot.
Pull over!
I hollered through the face shield. Sliding the bike up next to the curb, he killed the engine and turned his head. We clanked helmets.
What's up?
I scrambled off the bike, struggling with the chin strap of the damn fishbowl on my head.
Hold up a sec.
He cocked his head like I had spoken Greek. I ripped off the helmet and tossed it to Officer Jackson.
I need to check something out.
I clambered over the low pipe fence and slinked into the darkened lot, hunting for the black Buick.
Lamar, get your butt back here,
Jackson yelled. Ignoring his demand, I spotted my target and approached with caution. My fingers trailed alongside the hood, following the silver swirls.
Not so dangerous now, are you?
Peering into the passenger side window, I tried the door handle. Locked. And then an idea slapped me upside the head. Whirling around, I collided with a 190-pound brick wall. I tilted my head upwards and met Jackson's eyes. I grinned.
You realize you're trespassing, he said, peering down at me. Frustration flickered in his eyes.
Well, so are you. My voice cracked and my heart skipped a beat.
Yeah, but I'm a cop.
Uh-huh, but you're off duty. His warm scent was wearing down my steely shield. Pushing past him, I focused on my mission and went around to check the driver's side door. Damn the bad luck. I peeked over the hood at him and put on my sweetest smile. A girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do.
Could I borrow that Slim Jim thing, please?
I batted my eyelashes. He dashed around the car, grabbing my elbow. I noticed how gentle his grip was, not at all like what I expected.
Not no, but hell no.
His low, smoky voice sent shivers up and down my spine.
Ziggy is probably passed out drunk.
I pulled free of his grip.
I really need to check out this car.
He pointed. What you need to do is get your butt back on my bike. I planted my feet firmly on the pavement.
I am not leaving until I get in there.
He let out a weighted breath.
Really? You're going to act like this?
Come on. He tugged on my arm.
There is no need to search it.
But I need to. I already have, he said. Nothing but a gum wrapper on the floorboard. Now let's get out of here before the owner catches us. He is not pleasant.
Gum? What kind?
Juicy fruit. What does it matter?
Actually, it does matter.
Juicy fruit is the same gum I found on the stairs the night of Samson's murder. Mr. Peters said it wasn't his.
Great. You found a gum wrapper you assume was from Samson's murder, and I found the same flavor in the car. I don't think it has anything to do with who murdered Samson, and it certainly doesn't clue us in to who the person was.
Well, he was right on that. We were no closer to catching the guy than we were before. Without another word, I hoofed it back to his bike. I strapped on the stupid fishbowl helmet, climbed on, and watched Jackson step over the pipe fence toward me. He reached over and unfastened my chin strap, gently lifting it off my head.
Your stubbornness is not helping. But for your safety, please stop pursuing this.
His dark eyes studied mine.
You need to question the owner of this car lot, I said, pointing toward the sales office. Whoever sold this car to him is the person following me, threatening me, and most likely the one who robbed the bank and murdered two people.
I expected him to continue arguing with me, but he didn't. He stood there, listening. Something Nick would have never done. He opened his mouth and blew me away with two simple words.
I understand.
Confused and dumbfounded, I stood there blinking up at him. Somehow, his ability and willingness to understand calmed my anger and eased my fears and tension.
You do?
He rearranged the collar of his leather jacket I wore. His fingers grazed my neck, sending my skin ablaze.
Yes.
I also realize the previous owner of this car is most likely our guy. And I'm trying like hell to figure it out.
but I can't do my job effectively if I have to constantly watch over you. Well, nobody asked you to ride in on your white horse and rescue me, you know. The second the words were out of my mouth, I regretted them. He scoffed, his dark eyes affecting me in crazy ways. Will you stop being so stubborn? Let me help you. Damn it, woman. I studied him for a moment, trying to decide whether or not to trust him. There was so much about him I didn't know. Until 2 days ago, he'd been a stranger. Pop would say, tread carefully. Mama would say, trust your instincts. Gertie would say, gamble, baby girl. I decided to take Gertie's route. Fine, I accept your help, I said. But about the sales office over there, I do have a slight confession. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Are you curious about what happens next? Be sure to hit subscribe and tune in next Tuesday to find out. If you're enjoying the Cat Clayton Mysteries podcast, I would appreciate if you would rate and review so that other listeners can discover the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Until next week, stay happy and sleuth on, my friends.